ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, getting back to this commentary after quite some time, name 436 in this edition is Anirvinna. But before I get into that, I'm going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 86, Shutadev's prayers to Lord Krishna, which are among the many prayers, or many Shastric statements, which give us a clue as to why we should study Vishnu Sahasranama. Ladies are there? It's going on, okay. So, this is one of the prayers. Shrinvatam, you all know that word. Shrinvatam, matter of hearing. Gadatam Shashvad. Archatam tvabhivandatam rinang sangvadatam antar hridi bhasyamalatnanam. You reveal yourself within the hearts of those persons of pure consciousness who constantly hear about you, chant about you, worship you, glorify you, and converse with one another about you. Hridi sthopyati durasta karma vikshipta chetasam Atma Shaktibhir Agrahyo Pyantip. Atma Shaktibhir Agrahyo Pyantupetagunatmanam. But although you reside within the heart, you are very far away from those whose minds are disturbed by their entanglement in material work. Indeed. No one can grasp you by his material powers, for you reveal yourself only in the hearts of those who have learned to appreciate your transcendental qualities. So here it's mentioned about hearing. There are many, many verses in Bhagavatam which describe the glories of hearing the Lord. And specifically, it's mentioned that you, Krishna, reveal yourself only in the hearts of those who have learned to appreciate your transcendental qualities. So Vishnu Sahasranam is very much about appreciating the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord. Most of the names are in relation to various of his qualities, transcendental qualities. So the name that we'll speak about today, maybe we'll speak about too, is Anirvinna. Anirvinna. It's a negative term, but nirvana means disappointment. So Krishna is never disappointed. He's never depressed. We might find people in this world who also have a cheerful nature, but they also have to die. Next life they might get a different kind of nature. No, Krishna is never disappointed. Other meanings of nirvana are disgusted, degraded, known. So it can be said Krishna is not known, but there are many names like that. And of course there are the opposite names also. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mang tu vedana kaschana, no one knows me. But he also describes, at least his Paramatma feature, as Jnana Gamyaha, one who can be attained by knowledge. But I won't get into that so much, because that's a secondary meaning. Generally, Nirvana. And there are many names and verses describing how Krishna, he's unknown. He's generally unknown. But Prasadale Shanu Grahita Eva, he's someone who gets a little bit of his mercy, can understand him. It can mean loathing also, so Krishna is never disgusted. He doesn't loathe or hate. Loathing means deep hatred with a sense of repulsion. To hate someone from the bottom of your heart. So Krishna, there's no such thing in him. He's all loving. His general tendency is to love everyone, not to hate them. That's the general tendency of every pure soul, because that's the tendency of Krishna. And although Krishna might sometimes act in a manner that it appears he doesn't like someone, but it's not actually so. He may punish them for their own good, which negates the idea of a God who punishes you in hell forever. Very terrible misrepresentation of God. So he's never despondent, he's never depressed. Oh, that's a good idea. He's always cheerful. He's described in Bhagavatam as, by himself, Kapila Deva, as prasannavadanam, happy face. We see deities of Krishna always looking happy. You might say, well, they're carved that way. Well, why are they carved that way? Because, well, that's the way Krishna is. That's his nature to be happy. Some devotee, I was reading their memories of when Srila Prabhupada passed away in Vrindavan, they were present, and he came before Krishna and Balaram. Why are you smiling? Everyone is unhappy. But then he thought, well, Krishna's happy because Prabhupada has come to me. But we're not happy. We're feeling unhappy. Krishna's always happy. It's a very different concept of God to that of the majestic, simply majestic, or the concept of God as being so great that he's not a person. It's a very strange idea. He's so great that he's not a person. Beyond being a person. But as Srila Prabhupada pointed out many times, that the supreme great cannot be lacking in any quality that we tiny beings have. So if he's not a person, then then we have some characteristics that he doesn't have. And he's not, his general nature, he's not severe or nasty. The concept of God whose main business is to chuck people into hell forever. No, he's a very pleasant person, always cheerful. Of course, the absence of disappointment doesn't constitute the whole of the phenomenon of happiness. There's more to being happy than not being depressed. But certainly, one who is happy, he's not depressed. Some people, especially in the modern age, it's very common, especially in the Western world, people have a tendency to be depressed. Depressed actually means pushed down. That's the original meaning of the word, but now it's used more in the sense of a pushed down or having come down. Just like if there's a cushion and you push part of it down and it remains down, that part could be called a bit depressed, but it's nowadays used more in a sense of psychological state. So he's never disappointed. The commentators explain that Krishna, well, first of all, let's discuss, why do people get depressed? Because they feel their desires are not fulfilled, the world is not the way they want it to be, they feel that people are against me. It may be in some cases, but we say someone has a very strong nature if he doesn't become disturbed when people are against him. He has a very strong nature, maybe good or maybe bad. He may be a criminal and who's just hard-headed, hard-hearted, and doesn't become disturbed even though everyone's against him. Or it may be someone who stands up for the right cause, as it's conceived of in material consciousness, and doesn't get discouraged because others are against him. There are many examples. Martin Luther King in the early or late, early 1960s, was an example of someone in America who stood up for the rights of the black people. And even though so many people against him, but he stood up and he wasn't depressed, he remained confident, and in this way gave great courage to the black people and to the white people who supported him until he was shot dead. And then many people became disappointed. So, Krishna, he can also cause disappointment to others. Just like when he killed Kamsa, Kamsa's wives were not happy. What are their names? One is Prapti. What's the other one? I can't remember. Two main wives. And their father, Jarasandha, he also wasn't very happy. So they became disappointed. But they became disappointed because they're demons, or at least the wives of Kamsa were his, they were attached to him. But Krishna, he doesn't become disappointed, even though there could be cause for him to be disappointed. He could be said, because he wants all the jivas to come to him. He makes a lot of effort. He comes to this world personally, preaches to them, gives the scriptures, sends his own representatives. He's always trying to bring the conditioned souls to him, but most of them, they simply ignore him, which is the most disappointing thing. If someone calls you bad names, that hurts. If someone beats you, well, that hurts not only mentally but also physically. But if someone just ignores you, they don't speak to you, they just treat you as if you don't exist, then it's very disturbing. You probably don't have much experience of that, because it's not very common in Indian culture that people do that. If they don't like you, they let you know. But in some culture, in Chinese culture, at least, well, I don't know if it's all over China, but it's certainly in Hong Kong, if devotees, they go to distribute books, they may be talking to someone in an office, and they just pretend that they don't see them, they don't hear them, they just go on with their work. They may talk to someone, they just completely ignore them. That's their cultural device for not being directly rude to someone. But actually it is very rude just to ignore them, according to our cultural perspective. So the conditioned souls, they avoid Krishna, or they reject Krishna, or even they may come to him and say, "Oh, Krishna, I surrender to you." But then after some time they say, "Well, maybe a little later." Or they say, "I surrender to you," but they're devious. They're not really surrendering to him. So even though his desire that we come to him are not fulfilled, he doesn't become disappointed. He doesn't say, "Why don't I just be like they say in the Bible and just throw them into hell forever? Just forget them all. Bunch of useless people." I suppose the Bible's concept of God is like that, because it's anthropomorphic. People think, well, if they did it to me, that's what I'd do to them. But Krishna has a higher consciousness than that of some jealous God, as he's described in the Bible, at least in the English translation. I don't know if they... Because terms like jealous, they tend to be quite cultural specific, and it might not get exactly the same term in other languages. So he doesn't become disappointed. Well, in one sense disappointed, yeah, but not to the extent that he takes revenge, but he goes on creating, creates the universe again and again, gives the conditioned souls another chance, another chance, another chance. How many chances do you need? Take another chance, take another chance. So in this way, he disappointed, yeah, but he doesn't become overcome. Doesn't become overwhelmed by disappointment. That is a symptom of tamagun, when one is overwhelmed by circumstances and then you just can't function. You just withdraw in. Of course, one can withdraw in sattvagun, seeing the situation is not very conducive. So Krishna, he may do that, but he doesn't withdraw out of frustration. Shankara gives the interpretation that he's never despondent because he has no wishes that are not fulfilled. He's also called Aptakama, one who all whose desires are fulfilled, or Atmarama, one who is satisfied in his self. This understanding should be considered very carefully, because generally we think that, well, if my desires are fulfilled in material consciousness, we think if my desires are fulfilled, then I'll be happy. But it's not true. In this material existence, if our desires are fulfilled, we don't become happy. We may have an initial sense of euphoria, just like if someone wins the lottery and they win 10 lakhs on the lottery. Of course, for some people, 10 lakhs isn't very much money, but for most people, it is. And they become, oh, so happy. But often they find that that money actually causes them more disturbance. So many people are around them trying to take it away from them. Most people who get money like this, they just spend it very quickly and it's all finished. And then they're lamenting that I should have spent it more wisely. And even if one is apparently happy in this world, with money and so many things, becomes disappointed when he has to leave it all behind at the time of death. So simply to have one's desires fulfilled and then one will be happy is at best a mediocre understanding of happiness. There was an American movie once. I know about it because Bhakti Vidya Purna Swami told this story in a class. His father was a Hollywood movie actor, so we're told. So I presume it's true. There was a gangster who was shot dead, and then he woke up and he found himself in very nice surroundings with so many beautiful women, ready to fulfill all his wishes, and bringing all nice food and nice drinks. Nice drinks means for them alcoholic drinks. Then he went to the casino, and every time he played, he won. And he thought, oh, I came to heaven. And everything I ever wanted, it's here. So after a few days, he turned to one of the beautiful girls who's attending him as he's at the casino, winning every time. And he said, well, I never knew heaven would be so boring. And she said, who said it was heaven? So some cryptic message that is probably hell. So just to have your desires fulfilled all the time, that might not be the highest happiness. And in fact, Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his pastimes, when I say Supreme Personality of Godhead in this context, I mean who is superior in one sense even to Narayana, actually in four senses, at least in his Leela Madhuri, his pastimes are very especially sweet. Rupa Madhuri, his form is especially sweet. Venu Madhuri, his flute is very sweet. And Prema Madhuri, his love and his lovers, they're especially very sweet. So in his pastimes, there is much thwarting of his desires, it would seem. He has to struggle, apparently, to win the love of Radha. And he always has to always has to be aware that this Radha's mother-in-law and sister-in-law are giving problems, and she gives problems, and Lalita gives problems, but still Krishna is he's always ready to give it another try. Sometimes it might appear that he becomes disappointed, but oh, that Radha has rejected me. But he takes heart and goes back to her. So in the higher level, of course, these names of Vishnu Sahasranam, they are Vishnu Sahasranama. So at the higher level in Krishna's pastimes, there may be some apparent disappointment. In fact, this word Nirvinna, we find it, the name here is given as Anirvinna, not despondent. But the term Nirvinna, Anirvinna Chaitasa, we find. That's a devotee is also supposed to be of not depressed mind. But the word Nirvinna, we find it often in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nirvinna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he feels transcendental disappointment. And another word we find often to describe him is Vishad, which has a similar meaning, that he feels devastated. I couldn't attain Krishna. But this is at the highest level of spiritual ecstasy, the very intense feelings for Krishna, feeling very disappointed that I couldn't attain Krishna. The example of the perverted reflection is relevant in this context. That what is the highest in the material, highest in the spiritual existence is the lowest in material existence. So the highest level is this viraha bhav, the feeling of separation from Krishna, in which one feels intense lamentation. Nirvana means disappointment, and Vishad means lamentation. So the two go together. Intense lamentation that I could not attain Krishna. And exactly the opposite of that, at the bottom level, in tamaguna, in material consciousness, is lamenting. That same word comes in Bhagavad Gita, Vishada, one of the symptoms of someone in tamaguna. So Krishna, he's well beyond all this material lamentation. He's always happy in himself, and he gives happiness to others. Name 437 is Stavishta, which means he who is huge, very, 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 very big, bigger than we can imagine, as frogs in the well. We are frogs in a well. We're trying to imagine how big is the ocean, but it's not possible. It's beyond our experience, and if we don't hear from others who have experience, then we won't accept it even exists. The frog in the well, another frog who had seen the ocean came to tell him about it, but he couldn't accept that it existed. So Krishna's huge in size. Of course, he becomes kindly available to us in a size that we can deal with him. As Srila Prabhupada explained, that Krishna very kindly comes as the deity, we can dress him. If he came as the universal form and we had to dress him, then all the clothing factories in the universe would be, or they'd all be finished, and still we couldn't dress him. So this, especially, different commentators, they say. One of them say that this refers to the Shishumara, the what does that mean? Shishumara? Constellation looks like a dog, or porpoise actually would be more. A porpoise who's jumped and he's coming down. He's already on the... Have you seen that? Sometimes if you cross from going on the boat from Navadvip to Hulargat, sometimes you see the water porpoises. They jump up in the water and they come down. So the huge constellation. So that there's one of the names of the Vishnu Sahasranama is Shishumara also. Literally means child killer. I don't know exactly the etymological import of that. Baby killer. But he's even greater than that. And another meaning, one of the commentators gives is the universal form. Yeah, so just one of the verses describing that in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is speaking. I made a note. What did I write down? Here we go. Yeah, it's this verse. Dhyava prithvior idam antaram hi vyaktang tvayai kena jishascha sarvaha drishtvad bhutam rupam ugram tave idam lokatrayam pravyatitam mahatman. Although you are one, you are spread throughout the sky and the planets and all space between. O great one, seeing this wondrous and terrible form, all the planetary systems are perturbed. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, also describing the universal form, Shukadeva Goswami describes, the first verse describing in the first chapter of the second canto, the first words or the first description that Shukadeva Goswami gives as recorded in this Bhagavatam. Visheshas tasya deho yang stavishtash cha staviyasam. Did you hear that? That goes with the name stavishta. I'll say those words again. Stavishtash cha staviyasam. So stavishta means huge, material, sthula. It's connected with the word sthula, which means gross, very large, or material. Yatredyam vyajyate vishvam bhutam bhavyam bhavach sat. This gigantic manifestation of the phenomenal material world as a whole is the personal body of the Absolute Truth, wherein the universal resultant past, present and future of material time is experienced. Yeah, to understand all this, it's not so easy. Anyway, I'll read a few verses because it's describing how he is stavishta, how he is huge. The gigantic universal form of the personality of Godhead within the body of the universal shell, which is covered by sevenfold material elements, is the subject for the Virata conception. I'll just read the translation. Persons who have realized it have studied that the planets known as Patala constitute the bottoms of the feet of the Universal Lord, and the heels and the toes are the Rasatala planets. The ankles are the Mahatala planets, and his shanks constitute the Talatala planets. The knees of the universal form are the planetary system of the name Sutala, and the two thighs are the Vitala and Atala planetary systems. The hips are Mahitala, and outer space is the depression of his navel. The chest of the original personality of the gigantic form is the luminary planetary system. His neck is the Mahar planets. His mouth is the Janas planets, and his forehead is the Tapas planetary system. The topmost planetary system, known as Satyaloka, is the head of he who has 1,000 heads. His arms are the demigods headed by Indra. The 10 directional sides are his ears, and physical sound is his sense of hearing. His nostrils are the two are the two Ashwini Kumaras, and material fragrance is his sense of smell. His mouth is the blazing fire. The sphere of outer space constitutes his eye pits, and the eyeball is the sun as the power of seeing. His eyelids are both the day and night, and the movement, and in the movements of his eyebrows, the Brahma and similar supreme personalities reside. His palate is the director of water, Varuna, and the juice or essence of everything is his tongue. They say that the Vedic hymns are the cerebral passage of the Lord, and his jaws of teeth are Yama, god of death, who punishes the sinners. The art of affection is his set of teeth, and the most alluring, illusory material energy is his smile. This great ocean of material creation is but the casting of his glance over us. Modesty is the upper portion of his lips. Hankering is his chin. Religion is the breast of the Lord, and irreligion is his back. Brahmaji, who generates all living beings in the material world, is his genitals, and the Mitravarunas are his two testicles. The ocean is his waist, and the hills and mountains are the stacks of his bones. O King, the rivers are the veins of the gigantic body, the trees are the hairs of his body, and the omnipotent air is his breath. The passing ages are his movements, and his activities are the reactions of the three modes of material nature. O best among the Kurus, the clouds which carry water are the hairs on his head, the termination of days or nights are his dress, and the supreme cause of material creation is his intelligence. His mind is the moon, the reservoir of all changes. The principle of matter, Mahatattva, is the consciousness of the omnipresent Lord, as asserted by the experts, and Rudra Dev is his ego. The horse, mule, camel, and elephant are his nails, and wild animals and all quadrupeds are situated in the belt zone of the Lord. Varieties of birds are indications of his masterful artistic sense. Manu, the father of mankind, is the emblem of his standard intelligence, and humanity is his residence. The celestial species of human beings like the Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, Charanas, and angels all represent his musical rhythm, and the demoniac soldiers are representations of his wonderful prowess. The Virata Purusha's face is the Brahmanas, his arms are the Kshatriyas, his thighs are the Vaishyas, and the Shudras are under the protection of his feet. All the worshipable demigods are also overtaken by him, and it is the duty of everyone to perform sacrifices with feasible goods to appease the Lord. Now, text 38. I'll read the Sanskrit. Iyana sav ishvara vigrahasya yah sanneve shakkatito mayate sandharyate smin vapushi stavishte. Again the term comes, svavishta. Svavishte manasva buddhyana yatosti kinchit. I have thus explained to you the gross, material, gigantic conception of the personality of Godhead. One who seriously desires liberation concentrates his mind on this form of the Lord, because there is nothing more than this in this material world. Shankaracharya also quotes from the Mundaka Upanishad to say that Agni is his head and the moon and sun are his eyes. So we get the sense that how big he is. Very big. And another interpretation is that he's always accompanied by Lakshmi, who is inseparable from him. But that seems to be, in this context, a secondary meaning that's given. Then name 438 is Bhu. So that means the support of everything, the earth. He is the supporter of all the worlds, just like the earth supports everything. The earth is the stage of all activities. So in the same way, actually everything rests on Krishna. Everything is, all activity is made possible by Krishna. The earth is also one of his shaktis, or rather one of his shaktis manifests herself as the earth, Bhu Shakti. Among the three most, well, the most famous of his shaktis is Sri Lakshmi, but Nila and Bhu are also very well known. Bhu Shakti becomes, or is, Satyabhama in Krishna Leela, and she also manifests as the earth planet, personified, who goes to pray to Brahma, and then Brahma prays with all the demigods, and Krishna appears. So Krishna's also the earth. She is not different from him. He is not different from her. So this very important vision, which is very much lost in the modern age, of seeing the earth as divine, not in a not in a sense of pantheism, just seeing everything, every living thing as being a separate manifestation of the divine. Well, in one sense, but it's seeing that there is Krishna, but Krishna manifests himself in various ways. And the earth is divine because she's Krishna's energy, and she is the place which is given for us to serve Krishna. And it's the place where he comes and personally marks with his lotus feet. Ime janapada svidha. Now, what's that verse? Ankita says the earth is Kunti's prayers. The earth is marked. The ankit, the mark of Krishna's lotus feet, is there. I don't remember just now. We should train some of these boys. They can learn all the Bhagavatam. So, when some idea comes, you can just ask them. You can look it up. You can ask Vedabhesa Acharya, Prabhu. Ankita Bhati. Where does that verse begin? Look up ANK. Yayam Shobhishyate Tatra Yate Danim Gadadhara Tvatpadair Ankita Bhati Svalakshana Vilakshitam. Yeah, what's the translation?
O Gadadhara Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so.
The earth. Well, Kunti is especially, Janapada Svridham, our flourishing Janapada, our town, or extent by extension. The kingdom, it all appears to be flourishing because you are present. But when you leave, it will not appear so. Even though it may still be full of all opulence, but without Krishna's lotus feet, it all seems empty and vacant. So that's another idea, that the earth, it's very opulent by nature. The earth gives fruit, flower, clothing, all things. But without Krishna, it all seems empty. And when we forget Krishna, all the opulence goes away also. As we see in the modern time, even people without knowledge of Krishna consciousness, they many people understand, are simply torturing the earth and trying to squeeze out from the earth, squeeze out oil and squeeze out food, but the earth will respond by not giving anything, and then people will just have to eat each other. There'll be no food left. So he's just as the earth supports everything, from the big mountains to the little beings, so Krishna is the supporter of everyone and everything. Abhu also gives the sense of bhavati coming into being, or rather in Krishna's case, he is being. He doesn't come into being. Nayam bhutva bhavito va nabhuya. Even the jivatma doesn't come into being. But he is being, he is existence in which everything exists. Now, another way to understand this or interpret it is by grammatical interpretation. It can also be abhu. If we combine the two words are combined, stavishta abhu. So it can also be interpreted to mean abhu, which means he who does not come into being, who is eternally existing. So that's another meaning. But I won't get into that much now. It's an important name, but that's also there, covered in other names like Aja, which comes in Vishnu Sahasranam, one who is not born. So Hare Krishna, that's all I'll do for now. Unless there are any questions about this. Second canto. Are you in that? Are you reading that now in your Bhagavatam lectures? Yeah, I went through the place where the marker is, so it seems I went right through the part that you're doing. If we study Bhagavatam and then we approach it, we'll find it's just unlimited there. You see, probably you're reading that and this word Stavishta came, but then if you take it from another angle, from the angle of the Vishnu Sahasranam, and then see how the commentators describe that. It's just unlimited. Many times I come across some comment someone makes. There's something in Bhagavatam which I'm familiar with it, but I never thought of it in that particular angle. You take some particular word. That's why it's very valuable actually to read the Sanskrit and the Bengali, because you'll get the particular words, just like I in this Anirvinda, because Generally, I must admit, when I read Chaitanya Charitamrita for many years, I tend to read the Bengali verse and not the translation. So, I might read the translation also, but generally I read the Bengali verse. And you'll find there's so many points are there, which they don't come through in the same way in the translation. Some people might think that's blasphemous, but if you have any understanding of Indian languages, then you can understand that. It's English doesn't, in many cases, can't represent the subtleties in Sanskrit and derived languages. Yeah.
You want to mention that the wives of Kamsa, they were upset when they disappointed him.
Yeah. When Kamsa died, his wives, they were unhappy.
And
usual ones. Usually, when someone dies, their wife becomes unhappy.
So, some demons like Kaliya's
wives were also unhappy when it looked like he was going to get killed by Krishna. Yeah?
But they're also devotees.
They're also devotees. But they're also, in this world, women. So if you read their prayers, you'll see that he's our protector, he's our shelter. So they were going to be. And naturally, some relationship is there with him. That's the nature of this of existence. We become attached to that which we associate with. That's the very nature of existence. It's not that to be a devotee means that you're totally detached from everything and everyone. Someone challenged Srila Prabhupada about that, that why did Arjuna lament when Abhimanyu was killed? Prabhupada said that's natural, if your son gets killed, but the test that he was on the transcendental platform is that he didn't give up his duty to serve Krishna. He could have just said, oh, that's enough, I'm just totally finished now. I can't fight anymore, but he went on fighting. Even though he was feeling devastated, but he was out there in the battle the next day. He wasn't overcome by lamentation. When Srila Prabhupada passed away, his disciples were upset. Why should they be upset? They know he's gone to Krishna. Sheshonga na pai akande. Not getting that association, we feel like crying. These matters, they can be discussed, but it's a matter of feeling. It's not all just clinical dissection and putting everything into a box. It's a matter of feeling also. And good for Kaliya that that his wives felt for him, because then he was also able to come to his senses. Otherwise, if he was killed by Krishna, then he would have just merged into the impersonal Brahman. Yeah. Said that the universal form is an imaginary form. Imaginary means that it's conceived of in the mind. Everything, the planets are all there, but the seeing it as the universal form, that is a particular way of seeing the universe. So it's conceived of in the mind. Actually, all these things are non-different from Krishna. But beginning stage of God realization is to see the universe as Krishna. It's a subjective perspective. Everything there is real. And it is the form of the Lord, but it is imagine in the sense that it is conceived of as such. It's again maybe a problem with language. The Lord cannot become a tree. Whoever said that is an atheist. When you say he cannot, then immediately one wants to restrict him. So, Hare Krishna. We'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.